It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ah, Tamaria, Rachel, I'm doing very well, thank you. The sun is shining, the lakes are full, and we are going to be able to go about retail shopping as of tomorrow.
Yes, some big changes there
to start the day. Yeah,
let's start by talking about our vaccination rates. We have hit that big milestone of over 90% now for all of our DHBs for first doses here in Tamaki Makaurau. This is a pretty big achievement. How's it tracking for moving into that second dose phase? Because obviously that's pretty crucial to getting us to the traffic light system.
Yeah, it is a great milestone. And I was just listening to the radio this morning and Germany concerned about another wave of COVID coming for the winter, and they said, but we've got our vaccination rates at 67%, double vaxxed. And I thought, wow, that's pretty low compared to what we're doing in Auckland. So in Auckland, Auckland DHB, fantastic, 95%, Waitemata, 92%. And now Counties Manukau over the weekend hitting that that magic 90% level. If you look at the second doses, Auckland, again, not too far off at Auckland DHB, 87% fully vaxxed, Waitemata 83%, and Counties Manukau 80%. So total numbers to get everybody second dosed, we still need another 96,000, which sounds like a heck of a lot. I'm told by the health authorities, and who the Prime Minister reiterated yesterday, that they're confident by late November, early December, we'll be at or close to the 90% double vaxxed in every area.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think we'll hit the, if you looked at Auckland as a region, we'll hit that 90% double vaxxed much, much sooner.
Now, when we do hit that 90%, a lot of things start to change. I just want to touch briefly on, though, something that has been flagged and continues to be flagged by particularly people working in the Māori health space, that we are still seeing that 10% of the eligible population who are still unvaccinated from those different DHBs being disproportionately made up of very marginalised groups, Māori being quite a big part of that at the moment. Are there conversations about how to keep boosting this? I know this is an ongoing process, but, we're getting to quite a critical point now. What's happening in that space?
Yeah, well, there's a lot happening in that space. Over the weekend, I went to, first of all, out to Māngere, the Hawks Rugby League Club, and good stream of people. Big emphasis there, mainly on Pacifica, actually, being Māngere. And, they had people like David Tua and Linda Wagner there, good role models to encourage the community. Then went through to Eden Park, and that was being run by Ngāti Whātua and a rangatahi group. And again, a big focus on trying to get Māori vaccinations up. And, the government's just put a whole lot of money into boosting that so that there is that big effort being made. I see the Whanau Ora group heading up into Northland, because once we open the borders, even if we're 90%, if Northland's only, 70%, there's a risk there. And I ended the day up in Otara, where again it was long queues and predominantly Pacifica and Māori. And those are the groups that, you kind of celebrate every first vax, because most people who get their first vax go on to get mm-hmm. their second. So we are making good progress, but time's not on our side. And, you will have felt the mood out there amongst Aucklanders already with 90% having got their first vax and 82% being double vaxed. Those people are now saying, look, we're fed up with lockdown. We want our freedoms back. We've done the right thing. Now, we're not going to wait for the most reluctant person or anti-vaxxer to get vaccinated. So it's finding a balance between those different moods. One, the need to protect as many people as we can, to make every effort we can to get out there and get people vaccinated, but not saying to any particular group, it might be less than 10% of the population, we're not going to move until you guys have changed your mind about getting vaccinated or have bothered to go out and get it done. So I think the balance is about right at the moment, towards the end of the month, when we'll start moving into the traffic light system.
But it certainly is a balancing act, and we are seeing some big changes overnight, as we started off this segment with. We're moving into Alert Level 3, Step 2, as of midnight tonight, and that's going to mean we see retail reopen, and we also see some big public indoor spaces reopen, and outdoor spaces, the zoo, some of the museums and the galleries as well. Now, what is being done? We did speak about this a little bit last week, but what is being done in the conversation around this kind of al fresco dining situation, looking a little bit further into the future when we start to see how we're going to see longer term changes to the way we do shopping, the way we do eating out, things like this? What are we seeing moving into that space in discussion with the council at the moment?
Yeah, well, the council set out to try to facilitate that. There were a couple of obstacles in it that are not directly in our control. One was, in terms of the Sale of Alcohol Act, there's a slowness about health and police authorities being able to approve licences for al fresco dining. And, you know, I'm not particularly blaming those groups. They've got a hell of a lot on their plates at the moment. I had a bit of a discussion with government ministers about whether we could get some temporary changes in the Sale of Alcohol Act, and that would really need to happen soon. I, in fact, wrote yesterday with another councillor to minister to see if we can move that forward. The second is the requirement of toilet space, and mm-hmm. as I read the COVID health outline, they're saying you'd have to have separate facilities, toilet facilities, for people dining indoors and outdoors. If you have the two separate areas, then you can double the number of patrons, but you have to have separate toilet areas. Well, that's not easily done. And we're in discussions with government about whether we can have some flexibility around that. You know, it might be about regular sanitising of the yep. facilities, but you could find that we'll do everything that we can, and there'll still be some practical obstacles, and we're trying to work through with government to get through those particular obstacles. So it's still a work in progress, in short.
When we move into step two, midnight tonight, have there been discussions between council and retailers, for example, about how that is going to be facilitated or supported through that? Because I know there's a lot of physical hurdles to get over for making this work in a safe way. But also, you know, people are still a little bit anxious about getting into indoor spaces with people they don't know. What are some of these conversations that are happening at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think most retailers are ready and rearing to go. And I'd say that about a lot of consumers too. And, you know, people have been doing click and collect, but they really want to go into a shop and browse. There are a few things that, you know, I want to get in different retail outlets. And my worry is, as of tomorrow morning, those shops could be, you know, there'll be a backlog of demand, and there'll be some challenges in terms of the physical distancing thing, and a reminder of people that they need to wear masks and they need to use their QR code. And, you know, look, I regret to say that a lot of our shop workers already, particularly in the supermarkets that are open, are suffering abuse from some people who think it's beneath their dignity or, damages their freedom to have to wear a mask. Hey, that is to ensure the safety of the wider community. And I hope that there'll be pretty much zero tolerance shown to people who make scenes and demand their rights at the expense of other people's well-being.
There is a lot of pressure put on retail workers or, as you say, people working in supermarkets to be enforcing this. Do you think we need to see some slightly better policies or slightly better ways in which to empower people to be supported when they are trying to enforce that? Because it's a lot of pressure to put on low-paid workers to be, the arbiters of that particular quite tense rule sometimes.
Yeah, look, I think in the instance of a supermarket, you're going to have the management staff that have to be there ready to engage and intervene, and if necessary, a phone call to the police. But, they've got their own security people, obviously. But that does create some challenges, not easy to overcome, and the police can't be at every place on every occasion. But there'll certainly be a lot of peer pressure out there too, because the rest of us get really, really, irritated and angry about people who don't want to play by the rules and put others' safety at risk. And the person that see is they don't want to wear a mask in the supermarket. They are just as likely to be the sort of person that doesn't want to be vaccinated either. So there's a double risk there, and the risk is that person posing to everybody else that's in the premises. So, you know, that is a tension that and it's not easy to deal with, but the rules are there, and, you know, I think that there'll be huge public support for people following the rules. And, you know, I went to Eden Park, I saw all these anti-vax protesters trying to discourage people from getting injected. Well, you know, it's one thing to have your personal view that you don't want to be vaccinated, but to go out and actively discourage people from getting the protection they need... boy, that does test our tolerance and our patience. It certainly did mine.
Well, I do want to come back to this, but we can probably come back to that on another week. I just want to touch briefly, before we let you go, on some of the skills shortages that we're seeing coming through for big infrastructure projects here in Tāmaki Makaurau, particularly the City Rail Link is struggling a little bit with losing some of the skilled workers or having some of these hold-ups with getting people into Aotearoa to help on these big infrastructure projects that are happening in the city at the moment. What's being discussed at the moment between council and the government to try and manage this situation?
Yeah, well, there have been discussions over a long period of time. Obviously, with the quarantine system, a lot of these major projects rely on specialist workers internationally. And a lot of those workers are currently in New Zealand and living here, but they may have been away from home for, you know, 12 months, 18 months. That's a long time to be away from your family. And there's also international pressure to recruit all of those people. The United States, Biden has just got his $1 trillion investment in infrastructure bill through. And that's going to be creating a huge demand internationally for the skills that we have in short supply. And the Aussies are doing the same across the Tasman. So we've got almost the perfect storm here with... COVID being a barrier to getting people in readily, although the government has cooperated and we have had priority for some key workers without whom, you know, the whole project would be held up, costing millions of dollars a week. But it's also the competition and the salaries that will be offered across the Tasman and across the Pacific and the United States. So it is a real challenging time at a time when we're trying to invest more money than ever before in infrastructure.
So what do we need to see to entice people to stick around or to be able to stay here?
Well, one of the things that we did have, ironically, was that we were COVID-free. And by international standards, American standards, Australian or European, we still have less of a threat of COVID. We're more highly vaccinated. We've got less people in intensive care, etc. It will be about, I guess, keeping our salaries competitive, and that adds to an inflation problem as well. And it will be just about the way in which we manage these projects and make these great working places to be in. And when I've talked to a lot of those international workers, you know, they do enjoy being in New Zealand. They do enjoy working here and the atmosphere and the city itself. So, you know, we've got to build up those things, and we've got to treasure those skilled workers, because we do desperately need them to get these projects on time.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Always good to have a chat about what's happening in Tāmaki Makaurau. We will talk to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Mā te wā.
Mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very